Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Let us hear this story and open our ears to the Spirit speaking to the church. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor. He was a thief, and since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole for himself. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." This is holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this story. We thank you for your presence here in this room among us. And in us. Open our hearts, O God, to hear what you have to say. I pray that you would speak through me. I pray that you would speak in spite of me, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I regularly bake bread on Mondays, my day off. I love the smell of fresh bread baking in the oven. Sometimes just the smell alone triggers a memory for me. I remember sitting on the couch in our house in Iceland as a kid in my PJs, right before going to bed, and sometimes we would get a slice of bread right from the oven with melted butter on top right before we went to bed that my mother had just pulled out of the oven. I think of that sometimes even when I'm baking on Mondays. I love the process of making the bread. I love the smell. I love the taste, everything about it. When Heather and I got married in 2011, there was my home economics teacher came to our wedding. It was in one of our weddings. We had two weddings. One was in the States and one was in Iceland. My home economics teacher came to our wedding and she baked probably close to 100 rolls for our wedding. So even on our wedding day, that smell of fresh baked bread filled our nostrils and reinforced those comforting memories to me. I wonder if grace has a smell. I want to ask you to close your eyes for a moment and think about your favorite smell. What comes to mind? Oh, you can open your eyes again. Can I hear just some shouts? What came to mind? What's a favorite smell? Roses? Lilacs? Coffee? Campfire? Is that one heard? Coffee, campfire. What else? Any others? The ocean? Incense? Cilantro? Some people cringed. Some people love that smell. Other people don't, right? Some smells we love, other people can't stand, which is interesting. Yeah.
fresh rosemary. Now close your eyes again and think about if whatever image came to mind of your favorite smell, do you have a memory attached to that smell? Memory. And now maybe this will be a little harder to share, but if people have a little phrase, a phrase or memory you have associated with your favorite smell.
Flowers in a dear friend's.
Flowers in a dear friend's apartment. Friendship. Say again, Dave. Your mother. Your wife cooking. Yes. Baking at your grandmother's house. Okay. You didn't hear Amy. She said, love is the first person who makes your coffee every morning. Yes. Yes. Our smell is often linked to memory. It is one of the most powerful of our senses in terms of what we remember. Of course, if some people, if you don't have full olfactory, which is what that smelling capacity, if it's not fully functioning, you might have other senses like sight, hearing, touch that are also powerful or that will trigger memories. But smell is, for a lot of people, one of those very powerful memory triggers. I heard a story recently of a woman whose mother died of cancer the day of her 13th birthday. Outside of her bedroom window, her dad had planted a lilac bush. Somebody mentioned the smell of lilacs. It was her mother's favorite flower. Later on in her 20s, she was going through a really difficult time. She was lying on her bed, weeping, and she started to smell the scent of lilacs. There were no flowers around her or outside of her apartment, but she could smell that scent, and she said it was as if her mother was holding her again and comforting her. Does grace have a scent? The only time in the New Testament that fragrance is actually narrated is in this gospel reading this morning. Now, in the story, if we had read the story just before this one, we would have heard the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And in that story, there is fear of the smell of his dead body. So Jesus is about to raise Lazarus, commands the people to roll away the stone. And Martha is like, that's going to be really gross. That's going to smell disgusting. I mean, she didn't say it exactly like that. But she said the stench is going to be bad. He's been dead for 4 days. So the smell of his dead body is actually not narrated. It is feared. But in contrast to that, the actual smell of perfume is narrated in this gospel story when Mary, Martha's sister, one of Jesus' best friends, pours out an expensive bottle of perfume and anoints Jesus' feet with her hair. The fragrance, we are told, fills the whole room, every nook and cranny. It's all over the room. It's on Jesus' body. It's in her hair. There's so much about Mary's tender act of love that is inappropriate and shocking in this context. She is crossing all kinds of socially expected boundaries, boundaries around what was expected of men and women to relate to each other, boundaries on touch and using appropriate body parts, feet instead of the head, hair, not to mention the extravagant generosity of her act. Even in our context, we can sense that what she's doing is a little over the top. It makes us even a little uncomfortable. I think that mainstream Christianity, especially in white churches, there is a great deal of disconnection from the body. People of European descent have tended to be incredibly fearful of the body, the physical, especially when it comes to sex and sexuality. We've been schooled to associate negativity with all that is carnal, all that is physical, and we separate it falsely from that which is spiritual and immaterial. Of course, what is so odd about that, when you think about it, is just think about all of the Christian rituals in our church. All of them, in one way or another, about trying to connect us to our bodies again and to the bodies of other people. Think about water we use for baptism. We get wet when we're baptized. Ashes, we burn up the palms from the year before, rub them with oil and smear them on each other's forehead to remind us of our physical nature, of our mortality. The Lord's table, we use bread and juice. This is food. It's food for our bodies. It is the body of Christ. We're eating. This is physical. Our bodies are so important to God and to our rituals and the sacraments of the church. And yet, historically, we think negatively of our own bodies and other people's bodies, the suffering bodies of people around us. Some bodies we don't think are real or valuable. Transgender bodies, black bodies, Muslim bodies, queer black Muslim bodies. That's why we can't stop saying it. Black lives matter. Black bodies matter. Because until they really matter in our world, we have to keep saying it, affirming it, living into that truth. So much about the Christian faith, our rituals, is about the importance of caring for the body, individual bodies, and the communal body of Christ through acts of mercy and grace. And what I love about this story today, what also challenges me and makes me uncomfortable in my European skin, is how physical, sensual, intimate, queer, excessively generous this whole action is that Mary gives toward Jesus' physical body. His black body is 7 days away from being beaten by the authorities, tortured, and dead on a cross. A shameful death reserved only for poor people, for rebels and revolutionaries of the day. Indeed, the smell of death is all around the context of the story, not just with the Lazarus story before, but what is to come. It's like we can smell death closing in. It's over and over again. Jesus has told his friends, I am going to suffer this fate, and no one wants to believe that this is going to happen. It's not the kind of savior they want, not a suffering savior, not one who suffers a death that's reserved for poor folk. And yet Mary knows. She gets it. Mary knows that the path that Jesus has chosen will lead him to this kind of violent death. And on that evening, in the safety and comfort of his friends, who are caring for his body, feeding him a good meal, Mary anoints his feet with perfume that will linger on his body for days. A whole pound of perfume. That's a lot of perfume. If anyone uses a perfume, you do a little spritz, you know, maybe you walk through it, you know, as they do the like spritz, and then you're supposed to walk through it so it like gets on your clothes. But think about a whole pound of perfume in one room, all drenched in Mary's hair and on Jesus's feet. I actually don't think it was a mistake. It's not like she accidentally poured out that that unbelievable amount of perfume. I think she wanted him to be soaked in that smell. I think that that scent stayed on Jesus' feet throughout the week, on his feet as he bent down to wash his disciples' feet a little later. I think he smelled that smell of perfume, including when he washed Judas's feet, who would betray him, Peter, who would deny him. The scent on his feet, even as he was beaten. Maybe even as he hung on the cross and was mocked by the guards. Maybe he was even made fun of because he smelled of women's perfume. But the mockery didn't have power over Jesus because the scent took him back to that room when his body was loved and cared for. Perhaps that lavish act by Mary was the very gift that he needed in order to endure the week ahead. Maybe Mary chose deliberately to soak his feet in perfume because she knew it would last and it would remind him of his belovedness, even as he walked through the shadow of his own death. Next Sunday is Holy Week, when we remember those last days of Jesus' life. And I wonder if, for us, we might do well today, in preparation for next week, to remember that Jesus' body was important to God. It needed to be cared for and loved into the future. Mary loved and cared for Jesus' body. But not only was Jesus' body important to God, as in the past tense, it is now important to God. Jesus' body right now is important to God. We are Jesus' body, and there are members of the body of Jesus who are not here in this room, and by the way, they're not all Christian. The body of Jesus is where we find a suffering body, and so the body of Jesus extends beyond this room. I wonder if we can ask the question, how can we care for Jesus' body right now in the midst of the shadow of death in our culture? What does Mary's lavish gift of love ask us to do? What boundaries of social expectation might we need to cross to care for the bodies of those who are suffering around us? Does grace have a scent? I wonder if some of the gifts of love that we give and can give really do smell good. And I don't think we should think that the gifts we give that smell good are too small or insignificant to share. There's soup downstairs, for example. It smells good, I'm sure. Flowers, lilacs, fresh baked bread, the memories that we shared, people that we love, of friendship, our parents, whatever our memories that were triggered by scent. Think about the ways that we can share those gifts with the bodies of those who need to be cared for and reminded that they are beloved. Because Jesus needed to be loved. Everyone needs to be loved. Everyone needs their body to be loved. And in a way, that is why we're all here on this earth, to love each other so we can make it through the shadows of death in our culture. Amen. Amen.